Choosing of the Seven Deacons by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Well, we got a few verses this morning we're going to look at, and trust that they'll be a blessing to you as we consider the works that God is doing with the early church, the apostles serving the Lord there. And remember, they've been led to replace Judas with Matthias. And so there are 12 apostles at this point. And later on, God will add another one out of due time, called Paul, or Saul, actually, is his Jewish name. His name was changed to Paul. When you study God's Word, many times you'll find out that people's names get changed. Abram became Abraham. Jacob becomes Israel. You have a lot of name changes going on. So a name change, though, means something significant has happened in that person's life. Here we have something significant happening. The significance is that individuals were being neglected. It appears, at least there was a complaint, and so they needed somebody to help oversee that complaint and make sure that that was taken care of. It's always good when brethren dwell together in unity, like the scripture talks about. Up until this point, the church has been doing well. They were all with one accord in the spirit. The work was going forward. God was blessing. But when blessings come, there always seems like there crops up some problem somewhere. And so to take care of that, we have the additions to the group of individuals called deacons. The first deacons are called out and set apart to do that work of serving the church and ministering to those in need. Well, let's pray before we get into the message. Lord, we're so grateful for the word. Lord, thank you for the example of your faithful servants in the past. Help us to be faithful in this day. And I pray that your God, you'll bless your word. Help it to go forth and accomplish what you desire to accomplish. And help us each one to do our part and to serve you with a true heart. We ask and pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We notice the work is doing well. Multitudes are being added to the number of disciples according to the Word of God. The group is growing, thriving, in fact. And one of the problems they had, of course, was where they were at. Remember, these first apostles were at Jerusalem. They were converts to Judaism, converts from Judaism, rather. And because of that, many of them had difficulties in their lives of providing for their own needs. The reason for that is many times these individuals would have a hard time buying and selling from the Jewish people, which surrounded them. It's kind of like if you go to certain parts of the world, you would have a hard time too buying and selling. If they found out you were a Christian and you went to a Muslim country, you'd have some difficulties, I guarantee you. And so those things were going on. They were having to endure those things and work through those things. We also have already found out that there were certain individuals who sold different properties that they had, and they presented that to the church to be used to take care of needs that others had. The difficulty we have here is that some appear to have been neglected, in that daily distribution among the people of God. Some have been left out, not taken care of, and so there became a murmuring, which is not good. The King James calls it Grecians. Others call it,
Mine says Hellenists.
Hellenists, okay. A Hellenist is likely also a Jew. Now follow this thinking. They were likely also a Jew, but they were maybe, had lived in some other part of the country, some other country, and they'd taken up the Jewish language, and so they call them Hellenists. In other words, they use the Greek language, but they're still Jewish people. Remember, most of these converts are Jews at this point. Okay? The first apostles were sharing the word with fellow Jews that came to Jerusalem to worship. That's one of the reasons they were so close to the temple. They were there because they'd have the chance to interact with fellow Jews that didn't know Christ. And so it was a natural site for them to go to and share the gospel and let the people know that Jesus Christ, in fact, was the Messiah, that he was the one that they had looked for long ago, but now had finally arrived. He'd given his life. He was the Savior. And so all of that wonderful news was being shared by the apostles daily. And also from house to house, we found out in the previous chapter, they shared the word. And so the work was going forward. Many of those people who had come from far countries didn't have all the needs they needed, and they would be called Hellenists or Grecians. So those terms can be used interchangeably. sometimes we don't know what a Hellenist means, but we know who a Greek is, right? Greeks spoke the Greek language. And in fact, that was going on because of, I'll give you a little history lesson. When Alexander the Great was going strong, the Greek language began to infiltrate all the different countries. Well, the Jewish people that dwelt there, excuse me, dwelt in Israel, they liked to stay with the Hebrew language. And so that's what they used. They followed the law. They spake the Hebrew language. They felt like they were God's favorite people, okay? And when it came to other fellow Jews, they weren't quite up to snuff because they didn't speak the Greek language, of the Hebrew language, okay? And so there was a little bit of stuff going on there. We will have more of that stuff later on, okay? But right now, the problem is that there were certain widows that were being neglected as they distributed those needs to the various different people, and some of them felt like though that particular group was being neglected. And so that problem then comes to the attention of the disciples, or the 12, which is the apostles. They called the multitude of disciples to them, it says. Well, probably not the whole multitude was there, but maybe a good group of the disciples were there with them. Now, follow me. At this point, they would have somewhere upward of probably 10,000 at least. Because we've had 5 saved, we've had 3 saved, we've had multitudes saved. So we're getting in big numbers now, okay? And it's very unlikely that we had 10,000 there on Solomon's porch on the east side of, 10,000 would be a large crowd most anywhere, unless you go to a football game today. You get 80,000 in a stadium. I don't know, Chiefs gonna have 80,000 today? You don't think so?
I think we'll be standing on.
I'll tell you what, I was in Chiefs Stadium when we had the, what do you call it, Promise Keepers, didn't we?
Yeah.
Promise Keepers. Were you guys with me? Yeah. No, you weren't with me. Okay, we went to a couple other places. I went to Denver and
Kansas City.
Well, that was the Chiefs Stadium, Kansas City.
Come on.
And I went to Dallas Stadium one time, a couple times to up there, up to Nebraska one time with a bunch of you, I think. Anyway, Chiefs Stadium. I went with my two boys and, let me think.
Juan
Ramirez. And Andrew, not Mikey, the older one. I can't remember, the Andrew boy. Good sized lad, used to run track. I can't remember his first name now. Anyway, Kenny Andrew's son, okay? And so we all went up there in the old gray van. And what a trip that was. But what I was going to share with you is we had like 50,000 men there for that meeting. 50,000 men in the stadium, and we all sang. Okay? Later that day, after we'd sang, I heard people saying, we heard them 5 miles south. I mean, 50,000 men can make a lot of noise. Just singing, okay? But they make a lot more noise if there's 80,000 and they're cheering for the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs, they play at noon today, so I gotta get on with it.
You betcha.
Don't they play at noon?
Yeah,
they play at noon. They play at noon our time. Okay. I got plenty of time. We got lots of time this morning. Wow, what a group. But 10,000 at least probably was already saved and the trust of the Lord. But everybody gets hungry after a while. Everybody needs something to eat. When Jesus was in their midst, guess what happened?
He fed them.
There was no carrying dinner. The little boy brought his lunch and Jesus provided dinner.
Amen.
And they had leftovers afterwards. Could you imagine that? The little boy brought his lunch. They fed everybody after Jesus blessed it. Remember that?
Yep.
And everybody had more than enough. And there were baskets full afterwards. Now, calculate that. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's the Lord at work. That was the Lord in the midst. No longer was the Lord in the midst. They had a need. They needed something to eat every day, mostly. Right? God provided.
Amen.
God provided in other ways, in other means. But it seemed, didn't have enough. When it was all passed around, some got left out. So the multitude decided they would gather a group, and here's what they said. It is not reason, or it's not good, that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. What are they saying? The apostles are saying, we have a work to do that we cannot do if we're doing ordinary work. God has called us to preach the word, he said, to declare his truth. That is our primary responsibility. We have to take time to study, to listen to God, to be directed by his Spirit, so that we can share the word that God's people need. His word is that food that God's people need. It nourishes our spirits. It encourages us and challenges us. That's what they're saying. But there's also an important part of the work that needs to be done as well. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, let's put it where the rubber meets the road this morning. Somebody's got to clean the toilets or they're all dirty.
Amen.
Somebody's got to mow the lawn or it's a forest. Right? Somebody's got to do the cleaning or it's a mess. Somebody's got to do it. But what I'm getting out of this portion of Scripture is there's a work for all of us to do.
Amen.
All of us. God has a job for us all. You know what? When I played in sports, a lot of times there were people that sit on the bench. Sometimes the bench was longer and deeper. Sometimes it was kind of shallow on the bench. But you know what? In God's army, in God's work, he doesn't need anybody on the bench. He wants us all in the game. Because he's got a task, he's got a job for all us to do. Now, I've never played on a team that had more than 11 people on it. God's team's different. God's team's different. He's got a spot for everybody to fill. And you know what? If I don't fill my spot, something there doesn't get done that God wants done. And one thing I learned here is God didn't want the apostles to do all the work. It's not up to you guys to do all the work. It's not up to me to do all the work. It's up to all of us to do the work. And when all of us get involved in the work gets done. The work progresses. God blesses. And you know what? When we're all busy, we're not so much complaining. When I'm busy, I don't have time to complain. What? Because I'm doing something. I'm active. I'm working. And people, this is for all of us. All of us. But you know what? The ones that God selected out here, remember there were seven of them. Seven is always a key number in Scripture. Seven's a number of perfection. Perfection. If we're going to do it the way God wants us to do it, we've got to do it his way. We've got to listen to him. We've got to all be involved in the work. It's not up to the apostles, people. It's not up to the deacons to do all the work. It's up to all of us to have our part in the work. But you know what? If you're going to have deacons, you've got to have them the right way, don't you?
Yes.
You got to have them the right way. God has some qualifications. And you know what? He mentions three of them right here. Look out among you seven men. First of all, give an honest report. Honest. I don't know. Some other versions might say a little bit different than that. But that's a good quality. Honesty. Somebody that you can trust. Somebody that you can put in charge of a job and you know they will do it with honesty. Secondly, full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, full of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled. You know, if you're full of the Spirit, there's no room for anything else in there, is there? Well, that's the way I look at it. If the Holy, you're filled with the Spirit of God, that means He's in charge. He's directing you. He's leading you. He's showing you the things you ought to do. And the third quality is wisdom. Scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, if you don't have wisdom, where do you turn? You turn to God. I guarantee if you're spirit-filled and you're honest, you're going to be honest if you're spirit-filled. Because the Spirit is in charge and He's always honest. He's always trustworthy. Sounds like a Boy Scout almost, didn't it? Or what a Boy Scout ought to be, anyway. I guess we can call us Christian Scouts. You know? Those are the characteristics we need in God's church, aren't they? People that are Spirit-filled. The Spirit is in charge of their life. He's directing them. He's showing them the right way. He's empowering them. Wow. You better stand back when the Holy Spirit of God gets control. Because when He gets control, things are going to happen. Changes are going to occur. Lives are going to be transformed. Something dynamic is going to happen when the Holy Spirit of God is doing His work. Hey, it would never be boring. That's one of the things I endeavor always to do. Don't be boring. You ever heard a boring sermon?
Yeah.
I heard several when I was a kid.
Most of them are boring when you're a kid.
When you're a kid, okay. When you're a kid, they're pretty boring. But you know what? If the Spirit is on the move, He can get a hold of your heart anyway, can't He? He can touch you. He can help you to hear. I had a great uncle. He must have been a character. Well, he was a character. I heard stories about him. He would sit on about the second or third row with a whole bunch of kids sitting beside him, both sides. Huh?
I wonder why.
You wonder why? Because he always had candy in his pocket. And he'd sit down there. And he'd pass out the candy. And all them kids had some kind of a candy to suck on or chew on or whatever during the service.
Yep.
What a character. Okay? But it kept more quiet. I determined a long time ago that I would not be boring. I don't want people to have to go to sleep. They can sleep at home. Amen? They can sleep at home. And in fact, we don't have a boring message to bring. The message is that God wants to work in our lives. He wants to use us. Imagine that. He wants to use you. Right? Isn't that what you get out of the book? And it doesn't so matter who I am. What matters who He is. Because He can take any of us and do awesome things. It doesn't depend on my gifts and abilities. It depends on my surrender to the One who is all-sufficient for all things. That's what it depends on. And as long as I depend on Him, I can walk on the top of the waves. I can, as it were, you know. Not that I can personally do that. You know, I've heard stories of, jokes about that. You have heard about the Presbyterian and the Methodist and the Baptist that all got in a boat, went out, and they got out in the middle, and the boat started to sink. And so pretty soon the Presbyterian said, "I think I'm going to walk to shore." And he just got out and just walked right over to shore. After him, the Methodist said to the Baptist, "I think I'm going to go with him." And he walked right out to shore. And of course, the Baptist, he wasn't paying too much attention to those other two, and he just got out and he just sank. And the Presbyterian said, "You suppose we ought to tell him?" To the Methodist, he said, "You suppose we ought to tell him where the rocks are?" The minute you guys walked right across on those stones that were just underneath the water. And the Baptist, he wasn't paying too much attention, he got right out. And he sunk right to the bottom. It's important for us to pay attention, isn't it? Pay attention to where we are, what we're doing, pay attention to the work that we have to do. We've got a work to do in our day too, don't we?
Amen.
You know, it hasn't so much to do with taking care of the widows today as it is with taking care of people that have needs around us. There's all kinds of people with needs around us. The first great need is they need Jesus.
Amen.
As their Savior and Lord.
Yes.
Not too many of us die here from hunger. Physical hunger. But there are people dying and headed to hell because of spiritual hunger. People are hungering and thirsting, and they don't know where to turn. But you know what? We are God's people today. We're to serve Him in our present day. And I pray that God will give us the grace and strength to be able to see what Jesus sees in our world.
Amen.
There's a lot of people with a lot of needs. And I pray He will give us hearts to serve others. You see, that's what this text is all about. It's about service of others. Jesus said this in another place. "He that will be greatest among you will be servant of all." Jesus has a different yardstick than the world does, doesn't he? The world says, the greatest is the ones who serve by all. Jesus says, the greatest is the one who serves all. Reckon who's right. Jesus, as always. And He set the example too, didn't He? He served us all by giving His life so that we can live. Setting the standard for us to follow. And I pray that we will capture that vision that Jesus gives us. And shows us so that we can be the church that Lord wants us to be here in Edwards County. Known as a church that cares about the needs of others and seeks to meet those needs. You know, there's several ways to meet the need. Sometimes you can give fish to the one who doesn't have fish. Other times you can teach people how to fish that don't know how to fish, if you know what I mean. But God wants us to have wisdom and understanding and learn to serve Him in the community where He puts us. May God open our eyes. May He help us to see. May He help us to do what we need to do to be those servants here in Edwards County today. That's my prayer. Amen. God will use us to reach people, first of all, with the gospel, and share with them so that they can become all that God wants them to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the disciples of old. Thank you for those first deacons, those who are willing to serve your church and you to further your kingdom's work. Lord, today we were introduced to the first martyr, a deacon who became that martyr named Stephen. Help us to have a heart to serve you, a willingness to share the word of Christ with others like he had, a willingness to serve you in this place. Bless us, guide us, empower us, use us. We ask and pray in Christ's name.